As Rav Tabori mentioned yesterday, the Parshat Vayakel is in many ways a retelling of Parshat Truma. Except that in Parshat Truma, we have the tzivui, we have the command to build the Mishkan. And in Parshat Vayakel, we have the fruition, we have the kiyum of that. And that begins here, really in Sheni, where before we get into the discussion of how the different parts of the Mishkan were actually constructed, the Torah tells us of a frenzy to bring the necessary commodities in order to construct the Mishkan. And you can almost read the excitement in the air as you read through these psukim. Vayavo kol ish asher nisa libo v'chol asher nidvarucho oto, and each person whose heart had been raised and whose spirit had brought him to be generous, heviu trumat Hashem l'melechet ol moed, vayavo hanashim al hanashim, men, women, kol nediv lev, heviu chach, nezem, tabat, chumaz, kol klei zahav. They bring each and every part, every type of jewelry that they had. You read it, and it goes through. You know, I always wondered about some of these things. Like, where did they get them from? Now, okay, they were able to take all sorts of things from the Egyptians. Exactly where did they get Orot Elim Ma'odamim? Like, who brings a fur coat into the desert? Somebody's just saying, I don't know, it gets cold at night. Maybe you'll need it. Like, they have these things where whatever they might have had, right? The wood, like 2x4s, they're carrying, right? It's all there. And there is this excitement. And then the Torah, almost as an addendum, adds, after it talks about everything that was brought and how the people who were skilled craftspeople were preparing to make whatever needed to be made. And then the Torah says, V'hanesiyim heviu et avnei hashoam ve'et avnei hamiluim la'ifod v'lachoshen. And the Nesiyim, almost as an afterthought, the Nesiyim brought the gemstones that would be necessary for the ephod and the choshen, for the breastplate and for the the apron that the Kohen Gadol would wear. And here, Rashi brings a Midrash on this particular point. Midrash, which I have to tell you, I don't have to, but I will, has always bothered me to a certain extent. Midrash says, why are the Nesiyim here at the end? And why, when it comes to the actual dedication of the Mishkan, the Nesiyim are first? And the answer that's brought is that the Nesiyim, the 12 leaders of Klal Yisrael, right, each the prince of each tribe, so they sat back and waited. They wanted to see. They said, we are the wealthiest of Am Yisrael. We'll fill in whatever needs to be filled in. And the and everyone else will bring. And then they were shocked by the extent, the frenzy that I described before, of how everyone brought what was necessary and there was nothing left. So the only thing that was left were these gemstones to be brought, so they brought it. So the Midrash continues, two things. First of all, the word Nesiyim in this pasuk is chaser, the yud is missing. Because there's something wrong with what the Nesiyim did, and the Nesiyim recognized that, and they themselves were the first at the actual dedication of the Mishkan a few months later to bring the first korbanot. They volunteered and brought the korbanot. The reason why this bothers me is the Nesiyim ultimately did, their plan was fulfilled. Well, it's the most expensive item, arguably, or items, were these gemstones. Right? If you take a look at the pictures of the Bigdei Kohen Gadol, and you'll see there are precious stones, there are semi-precious stones, and they're large. They're very large stones. In other words, if you're on the breastplate here, they're not, you know, even a 2-carat diamond. It was something like, you know, something that you would find in the Tower of London, and maybe more. They bring very expensive jewels that no one else could bring. No one else had the wherewithal to bring it. Everyone came and they frenzied. They brought this bracelet, that earring, this fur, okay, this piece of wood. They brought everything that needed to be brought. Great. But who has a 20-carat diamond to bring? So the Nesiim brought that. So why are we, you know, why does Chazal give the Nesiim a rough time here? What's so terrible about what they did? And I think that the answer is that they didn't do anything so terrible. You're right, the Yud is missing. The Yud is missing, but all the other letters are there. You know, 90%, if you will. It's there. They waited and they brought what was necessary to be brought. But they weren't Nisiyin. They weren't leaders. Because leaders don't sit back. Leaders, even if ultimately they're going to write the biggest checks, they lead by example. And the Nesiim should have brought those stones first. Or maybe besides the stones, they should have also brought an earring or two. The Nesiim were okay. But if you're going to be a leader, you have to be better than okay. You can't be chaser. You can't be somewhat lacking. You have to strive for excellence. And that is what the Nesiim understood in retrospect. When they saw that the people with their enthusiasm had outdone them. Because in terms of what wasn't only what they brought, but how they brought it, then they learned. That if they were going to be true leaders, if they were going to be true Nesiim, when it came to the dedication of the Mishkan, they were the ones who were going to bring that first Korbanah. Rabotai, we could be Nesiim Chaserim. We can be okay. We can do whatever needs to be done, whenever it needs to be done, assuming someone else didn't do it already. Or we can be Shleimim. We can be leaders of excellence and strive for excellence. And if we strive for that excellence, then we can truly make a difference. Have a wonderful day.